Hello everybody. Happy Sunday or whatever day you are listening to this on. We're continuing to work through Mark's Gospel, although not always chronologically. And today is the well-known story of the leader questioning Jesus about the greatest commandment. Please pause the podcast and read Mark chapter 12, verses 28 to 43. I wonder, do you like things straightforward and simple? The question that the scribe asked Jesus was a common one. With 316 rules in the Old Testament, it's no surprise he wanted something more concise. But Jesus explains there's much more to his kingdom than rules. Attaining holiness is not achieved by offering sacrifices and burnt offerings. Rather, a relationship with God should transform our entire lives. It's not transactional, keeping a list of requirements. Jesus answers by drawing the leader back to the Old Testament. We are to love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind and with all of your strength. And secondly, to love your neighbour as yourself. Following Jesus boils down to this. Love is to be at the core of our decision making, our thoughts, our deeds, our very lives. Love for God, for our neighbour, and for ourselves. Jesus quoted this from the first section of the Jewish scripture that children learn and Jews use as a prayer called the Shema. They use it twice every day in the morning and evening. It's from Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 5 and begins with, "Hear, O Israel," or "Listen, take note." God is to be at the centre of every part of our lives, heart, soul, mind and strength. And as if it wasn't explicit enough in Deuteronomy, it goes on to say, "These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." Can we honestly say that these things are written on our hearts? Do we talk about God with our friends, family, children, grandchildren? Is he in our thoughts as we go about our daily business and as we drift off to sleep? Had this been written today, it may well say, "Pop a post-it note on the dashboard of your car to remind you and buy a fridge magnet with these words on. Make God's love explicit every moment of every day." There was a phrase that went round when I was young that said, "If you were arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you?" There were many non-church goers at the litter pick last week. They obviously care about the community and environment. So how do we, as followers of Jesus, look different? Mark 12:30 in the Passion Translation reads, "You are to love the Lord Yahweh, your God, with a passionate heart, from the depths of your soul, with your every thought, and with all your strength." The Message paraphrase puts it like this: "Love the Lord God with all your passion and prayer and intelligence and energy." I like those four words: passion, prayer, intelligence and energy. So let's break it down. Firstly, our heart or passion. People with a passion either tend to inspire others or put them off. At my girls' grammar school, the ones of us that weren't very good at French took classics rather than learning German. I think they were worried that if you weren't good at languages, you would make the school results look bad, and I was definitely in that camp. But it worked out extra well for me because I love classics. My classics teacher was so passionate about her subject that her enthusiasm rubbed off on me. Decades later, I still appreciate Greek and Roman culture. I took the subject at A-level and could happily have done a degree in it. And much of this was down to the passion that Miss Pilgrim had for her subject. It captivated me. God had other plans for me. But this love of classics was woven in, and as it gave me a background in the culture in which Jesus lived, he used it in another way. There are some, however, who are passionate about a given subject, and their passion does not only not inspire, it actively puts people off knowing about this topic. Some people aren't aware that their enthusiasm isn't shared, and they don't take note of the context in which they're in. Which one are you when it comes to talking about Jesus? Do we captivate others to know Jesus through our passion for him? Or are we blind to the needs of others and continue spouting on when actually they just need to be loved? This links with using our minds and intelligence, but let's consider loving God with our soul, or prayer, as the Message paraphrase puts it. I remember a whole lecture about our souls and spirits at Spurgeon's, and I still honestly don't know the difference, but whatever we define it as, we all know there's a part of us that is deeply us. Even if our physical body doesn't work, it's still there. Are we paying lip service to God's love, or do we love him from the very core of our being, from our souls? And if we do, then our relationship with him will be deep. It's achieved by spending time with him, being with him and listening and talking. Brother Lawrence talks about practicing the presence, being aware of God in each and every moment of our day. How's your prayer life? How do you pray? When do you pray? All of us can pray more. I find it helpful to use the prayer labyrinth, and it is here for anybody that would like to make use of it. Just ask. But for me, using the labyrinth or walking or maybe sitting quietly really helps me to chat with God. It enables me to cut out the small talk and to go deep. And I was speaking with someone recently who was worried that their prayers weren't very formal. It wasn't that they weren't reverent, but when we unpacked it, much of what this was went back to their upbringing. Prayers can be wordless. They can be an action, such as lighting a candle. What helps you to pray? I'd encourage you to do more of it. Who do you pray with? Do you have a prayer partner, or are you part of a prayer triplet? There's something amazing about praying with others. You can have the closest of friendships, but praying with others creates a special bond. You see people in a new light, a deeper, more intimate way. Yeah, it can be risky, but we're made to have an intimate relationship with each other and God, and we lose out when we don't pray with others. Setting aside time to pray is vital, but remember, you can also make life a prayer. There are infinite ways and means. There's no right or wrong way to pray. But the point is to do it, to align your soul with the one who made you, to feel his deep love for you, to enjoy his presence. I wonder, is someone who likes quizzes or games on your phone? Many people put effort into doing Sudoku or word searches to keep their minds active and alert. Do we also put effort into loving God with our minds and our intelligence? Do you read or listen to and think about the Bible and other Christian books? Do you make life groups a priority so that you can hear what others have to say about faith? Do you question and ponder? I was going to say, do you listen to podcasts? But I guess the answer is yes as you're listening to this. But there are other versions available. We obviously can never know all there is to know. But to love God with our intellect is an act of worship. And it's not just through words we can learn. Creation has much to teach us. I learned such a lot about God whilst gardening. I suspect that's why he's given me a big garden. I've got a lot to learn. Finally, what about our strength and energy? We all have differing amounts. It's not about comparison with others. But like the story of the widow's mite or the parable of the talents, what are you doing with the strength and capacity that God has given you? We might not be expected to give a set amount, but we're also not asked for 50%. God requires 100% of our energy. And how does that work when we have jobs and families and hobbies? Well, that's taken us back full circle to loving God with our whole being, passion, prayer, intelligence and energy. We cannot say we love God completely if, for instance, we study, giving God our minds and intelligence, but we don't allow him our energy. When our whole being, our souls are flooded with God's Spirit, then whatever we do will be imbued with his presence and love. It's not about having to do, but love for God seeping through the entirety of our lives. Jesus then goes on to quote Leviticus 19:18, love your neighbour as yourself. Being properly united to God requires that we are properly united to others too. To love God with our passion, prayer, intelligence and energy entails loving others with this same love. And it also requires that we love ourselves too. This is love in action. And in Leviticus, the verse is set in the context of not exploiting the poor. But it's not simply those who are marginalised who need to be shown love. As in the parable of the Good Samaritan, our neighbour is humanity. Loving your neighbour was a figure of speech. It meant your friend or those closest to you. Sometimes it can be our nearest and dearest that are hardest to love. The ones with whom we live the closest, whose strange habits may niggle at us, that might cause resentment or passive-aggressive retaliation. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, bless you, and that bit isn't for you. But I'm sure some of you will know exactly what I mean. In Acts chapter 9, we read of Saul persecuting the first followers of Jesus. And when Jesus appeared to Saul in a blinding light, he asked Saul why he was persecuting him. You see, when we don't love others, we're hurting both them and Jesus. How are you honouring God with your passion, your prayerful soul, intelligence and energy? Which areas do you find the most difficult? I'd suggest that this week you take time to ponder on how you can show God's love more in this area. God's kingdom is not otherworldly. It's for here and now. As Jesus said to the scribe, it is at hand. Let's pray together. Father God, heal my heart when it beats erratically within me. Save my soul when it denies you within me. Sanctify my mind when it thinks of others over me. Decrease my strength when my strength is my own. Here is my heart, let it beat for you. Here is my soul, let it yearn for you. Here is my mind, let it dream for you. Here is my strength, let it work for you. Let me offer my passion in trustworthiness, my prayer in transparency, my intelligence in truthfulness, my energy in tenderness. May I love you, humanity and all your creation, with my passion, prayer, intelligence and energy. For your name's sake. Amen.